Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. You know, every day you come on and you hear about our dedication to genuine spiritual healing, and I've got two people on here who just can't stand fake spiritual healing, and that's Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. John Townsend. How you guys doing? It's not good, is it, when that spiritual healing's fake?
No, we don't do fake. We don't do counterfeit. No, we just do real.
Here's what gets me.
Okay.
Is that people see spiritual healing as an instant lightning bolt zap, which God does. I mean, I've seen it. But it's just as much spiritual healing to be in a process where you open up and let people know you and pray together and you have answers and you deal with your issues. Spiritual healing is most normatively, when I look at the New Testament, spiritual healing is normatively a process, not an event. Mm-hmm. So don't call it in the lightning bolt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think most people want spiritual healing to be an instant cure, never a process. We don't like process.
Well, but their whole life growing up being parented by someone is a process.
Yeah.
And so we're built healthfully into a process and we become healthy, or we have areas where there's holes and they've been developed over a process over time, and they have to be the same thing. We also heal in process as adults. And couldn't agree more.
One of the best things Steve Arterburn ever said, he was speaking at some event that I was at.
Is this a quotable quote from Steve?
Steve, you were talking about that process, and you said, you know, we all love microwaves, but I'm impatient. I pace in front of my microwave.
Yeah. Right.
But God says it's an oven. So get out of the microwave and get into the oven of growth, mm-hmm. and good things happen. Yeah. Don't pace in front of the microwave.
And the other thing is, even if you had the big miracle, you know, everybody that Jesus healed, they died of something else anyway. And so it doesn't fix you forever. You've got to grow. You're going to have a process, even if you had a dramatic, instant growth spurt.
Plus, I like oven bread better than I like microwave bread.
It's better. It's just better.
It just smells better. It looks
the ingredients
better.
Metabolize better.
Everything's better.
You've got to metabolize the ingredients in your head.
Slower's better.
Yeah, I guess that's true for a lot of people.
What, you like microwave bread better than oven bread?
Slower's better unless you're landing in a plane. Then too slow is not a good idea.
That's good.
Steve, I think you need to take control of the show.
No, I think you made the point right there that sometimes maybe slow would be a pretty good thing. Hey, we're glad you're with us here today, because it's not normal that we are able to work out these life issues like we just did then. So thank you for being with us. By the way, we've got some workshops coming up here. And if you know anything about the calendar, it's less than a month away, November the 6th, for our Marriage Solution Workshop. I hate to even call it a workshop, because, man, do people get well from that. And then also, healing is a choice. When I was down in San Diego speaking, I had this woman come up. She went to healing as a choice. 7 years she had never thought about the fact that she had been date raped, humiliated.
Gosh.
Came up, healed it, forgave it. She said her life was absolutely never the same. Some of us have stuff back there that's dictating today, how we feel today. And healing as a choice can help you work that out. John, when we come back, I want to hear about the entitlement cure. I want to hear about the new book. I want also to tell you to tell people about the sign-ups for this next semester at the Townsend Institute. You know, we believe in John. We believe in what he's been teaching for years. And now there's a university, Huntington University, that's helping him secure that truth, that angle, that attitude that he has in generations to come. We'll talk about that and the new book, The Entitlement Cure, right after this. You're listening to New Life Live. We're glad that you are. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. John Townsend. Now, John, tell us about the book, The Entitlement Cure. Tell us about that.
It's a book about understanding and helping either the sense of entitlement that we all have, you know, which is there's two things in entitlement, and it's killing our country, basically. One is I'm above the rules, and the other is I should get something for nothing. And it's affecting business. It's affecting the work ethic, adult children, small children, friends, colleagues, and churches. I mean, it's just – you see it on Time magazine all the time, the entitlement of our – it's not just a millennial or whatever thing. It's not about that. It's about a human condition. So the book is how to address it in yourself and also those people in your life who – sort of like want something for nothing art and kind of into themselves, and it's they're not motivated to be healthy or loving. And I do a bunch of skills on what to do about it. For example, learn to keep inconvenient commitments. We live in a non-committed world where I can't have lunch with you because a better offer came along. No, we've got to learn how to keep commitments. When we make a promise, it means it's a big deal. Another one is to learn to say, I'm responsible to get a good life. I don't deserve a good life. I got to do some effort for that. Another one is to learn how to give and serve. We found out that neurologically speaking, altruism, helping somebody in a soup kitchen or a child evangelism thing or somebody in a domestic violence shelter, when you take entitled people to those and engage with them, it breaks them because they begin to see there's a bigger picture because the neurology changes to make them feel happier. All sorts of skills to help cure the problem of entitlement in our world.
Well, you know, I've found that as a Christian, I'm entitled to something, genuinely entitled to a second chance when I mess up the first time.
There you go.
But I can't wait for somebody to come along and fix me or heal me or whatever. I've got to do the work. And now this also feeds right into, you've got an entire institute that you're teaching people these kinds of things. Tell us about that and how people, they want to sign up. And you can take the courses online, isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's fully online. I consulted with my friends at Liberty University to do this. I wanted to have an online way to get graduate school training, a master's in organizational leadership, a master's in counseling, or a degree in executive coaching on a grad level. And I wanted to use my material, but to make it accessible online because it's an online world. And so it's the same price as Liberty, anybody else. It's very modest in price. And within a year or two, you can be fully accredited. And we use biblical principles, neurobiological principles, the great performance research, and just got great friends doing it. There's what they're called my fellows. And there's people like you, Steve. You've been a big part of this. Ken Blanchard, Henry Cloud, John Ortberg, Jim Daly, the CEO of Focus on the Family. They all have their contributions to make. So the students not only get what I'm doing, but they get world-class people who have accomplished stuff, and it's basically very inspiring for them to get trained to go out and lead businesses and churches and counsel in their lives. So we just started in the fall. We started last August of this year, 2015, and our second class is coming in January. So just go to townsendinstitute.org, sign up, and get rolling.
Now, this is not an arrogant statement, but when I started working with you guys, I thought, I want to be smart like them. And then I discovered I could be, because you wrote books. And if I'd read the books, I could learn the same stuff that you learned. I just wouldn't have to pay the fee. And here, you know, it goes beyond books. It's a graduate school. So, you know, if you've ever heard John and Henry talk and you like what comes out of there, and especially when you listen to what John has to say about leadership and coaching and the other things, you can be him. You can learn that stuff, and it can become part of you. And what a joy it is when you're out there teaching other people stuff and you're using the skills that you've learned from somebody who is so rooted in the Bible. So look into that, Huntington University. Let's have the website there one more time.
Just townsendinstitute.org. All the info's there. And okay, we're taking applications for January.
All right. That is an amazing, amazing institute. I love being there. And then also check out John's book, The Entitlement Cure. Let's go to Susan, Dayton, Ohio. Hi, Susan. Welcome to New Life. What's going on?
Hi, thank you. At the beginning of the summer, my husband told me that he wanted a divorce. Hmm. And he said it was because we fought too much. We've only been married for 3 years now, here in August. Hmm. And we met in the church. We served in ministry together. The whole summer he had taken the passive stance and was just basically waiting for me to make a move. And he would even, it was like a smoke out. He would even start fights, you know, to get me to leave.
Trying to provoke you to give up.
Yeah.
So then he wouldn't have to make the decision.
It's my fault. He says that, you know, I never listened to him and I didn't care about his feelings. And that hurt me very deeply, that I hurt him. And so all summer long, I'd been praying for my marriage and I wanted to make it work. But he was already switched off and I couldn't figure out why. And last weekend, I found that he is sleeping with someone at work who is about 20 years younger, and the boss's daughter.
Sorry.
And so I'm not at a point where I believe that I need to save my marriage or anything like that. I'm really struggling with forgiveness, and I'm really confused as to.
Has he repented of this thing?
No. Oh no. He doesn't. He's still sleeping with her.
What do you mean I'm not at a point where I want to save my marriage? What did that mean?
Well, I understand that, you know, God cares more about, he cares about more than just saving my marriage for the sake of saving my marriage for hating divorce. He cares about me and my daughter.
Oh, okay.
And what's right.
Yeah, you also want to have a whole life that's the right way, too. That's
correct,
what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
So
what's your question for us?
My question is, I'm really confused as to how this happens. I understand free will, but
you're calling us about a theological problem?
I guess so. My faith is shaken.
Oh, okay.
Well, and I think that's what happens. You know, we think we're in this relationship with God that we understand, and then we feel like he let us down. It's inconsistent. How could we be married to a man, and how could he let a man go out there and do this if God says he loves me? Some of those things going through your mind?
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell us more about I understand about free will. Tell us why this is a theological issue and not a what do I do next issue. I was kind of like surprised, like that's what you need from us, and we're happy to do that. But I want to understand if that's what this is about, the theological problem here.
I understand that, you know, God gives us free will, and it's up to us to do what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I just thought I did it right this time. This is my second marriage. And we met, you know, in the church, and
So why did God let something bad happen to a person who tried to do it the right way?
I guess so. I mean, I don't know how... Does everybody, I mean, like me, just walk around in their relationship and they always fear every day that someone's going to cheat on them or to leave them or...
Well,
I don't know how people...
Okay, well, wait.
Secure.
No, but let's talk about the dating process. How many of your friends met him and said, absolutely, this is a man of character beyond a shadow of a doubt? Did you have people saying that to you?
Yes, all of them.
And
yeah, we met through mutual friends in the church.
And he had a history. I mean, had he ever been married before?
He had. He was married to a woman for 18 years who had cheated on him several times. And so I thought, he knows how it feels.
Yeah.
Of course he would never cheat on me.
Right. Well, isn't that something? How we'll do the exact thing that you think is not anywhere. It just doesn't seem possible because we had it done to us. And what were his friends like that you met? The men in his life, what did they say about him?
What did they say about
him?
Him? That he was a stand-up guy. He was the captain of the fire squad.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah. But you're saying he had a lot of, you're saying he had a lot of healthy Christian men friends and you had healthy Christian women friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever character issue the guy had, it was split off underneath and nobody could see it. And it didn't come out until some certain stressors happened and it blew up. And now you see something that was invisible but existed.
Yeah.
Can I answer your question? I've been thinking about you, Carrie.
Susan.
What I say? I'm sorry, Susan. How do you think it happened that Jesus was betrayed by Peter? He did everything right. Jesus did it. He followed God. He was righteous. He was perfect. He lived life right. And he invested emotionally in a guy named Peter and trusted him and trusted a lot of his life to him. And Peter betrayed him. So it's the same question that you're having. So how did that happen?
I guess there was a lot of pressure at work.
For Peter?
That is one of the most amazing answers I
you're
have ever
You're
heard.
Now my official favorite person of the month.
There was
a lot of pressure at work.
There sure was. People to be healed. Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing. Whatever reason, because I live a righteous life and mind my manners and follow God and try not to be mean, it doesn't mean I'm not going to suffer and other people aren't going to sin around me. It means I've got a righteous life. I'm going to follow God. And so because you did everything right doesn't mean the other person, your husband's free will, got lined up with God, because we can't control that. And so Jesus had a Peter. And all the way through the Bible, there's all these stories of people letting us down because God does give that free will to them. And if it wasn't there, it'd be a bad thing. So I'm really sorry. But I want you to move past the what we call the theodicy, the you know, why would God do this, into, yeah, he does it, and I'm going to start reading Job more because it's all about Job. Because Job,
right.
You know, I read Job a lot. Get past that and get to doing the right things to put the correct pressures on your husband to either get healthy and go to every man's battle or not. But don't let his life hijack you.
Yeah, he's blinded right now by sin, and there's no way that he wants to continue our marriage.
All right,
so. Susan, John just said you have to work on getting healthy and drawing, perhaps different word I'm using, but then creating the possibility of drawing him back based upon something you're doing, your behaviors, your growth. And you said something early on in this conversation that really intrigued me. You ask him why, and he said because you hadn't listened to him and that you had hurt him. And then you said something that really stuck out in my head. You said, I felt bad that I had hurt him. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go someplace with this whole process, obviously all of us here and you and everybody listening is saying yes, to be in an adulterous relationship is not the right thing. right now you can't control him. You can only control you. I would spend time on that. How did I possibly hurt him? How did I not listen? How did I not see him? And I would do a personal inventory here, and I would spend the time, even though it'd be very difficult to do because the pain you're in, is to be able to come to him and to do really a counterintuitive curveball to say, I could see how I hurt you.
With the caveat of, I didn't make you find that woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. But it's a really good idea.
But I'm just taking personal responsibility for the relationship and the decline over 3 years before this ever happened with the other woman.
I'm taking the beam in my eye.
I'm going to work on that.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it is so important to clarify that you might have been a contributor to some problems, but in no way was that license for anybody to go out and have an affair.
Absolutely.
You start hearing that stuff about, well, he drove me into the arms of another. No. Nobody drove anybody in anybody's arms.
Never.
You got in the car and drove yourself.
That's right.
Now, I want to tell you, unfaithfulness has been a theme on this program, and we wanted to stop.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. Well, you know, I'm just going to hope and pray that Susan is going to develop the kind of, maybe it is like Mylon's saying, you go and you just take care of your side of the street, the things that you were involved with, maybe that were hurtful, not because you caused the affair. You do that, you go and live a life that you can be proud of and honor God with. But, you know, we just got to talk. When John and Mylon and I have gotten together on these shows, there's just been a lot of adultery. I just want you to listen for a little bit here while we talk about this. But let's talk about adultery. I mean, John, why don't you start us off?
Well, yeah, it's a really bad thing, and we heard a lot of it today. Basically, adultery is a breaking apart of the essential trust relationship that exists in marriage. And it's the most devastating thing that can happen because marriage is built on trust and vulnerability. And when they bring the third party in, life kind of goes away. And the big thing to remember about adultery, I believe, is that it tends to be, even if it's a horrible thing, it is the fruit of some issues that are deeper. People get stuck on adultery because it's so horrible, but something drives adultery. Mm-hmm. For example, mm-hmm. A certain amount of narcissism or entitlement, mm-hmm. or a certain amount of romanticizing and fantasizing, or not being able to work out problems, so using other people to medicate you because you don't want to work out difficult problems. So the three of us have seen many adulterous relationships actually healed and transformed, and people fall back in love when the adultering party does the work of healing the deeper issues. And we have a lot of hope for people that have been through it. We never see it as the end game. That's my spin.
And I think, too, John and Steve, that a lot of us don't know how to ask hard questions or the correct questions before we got married. Mm. I certainly didn't. And, you know, you made a point on another time we were together, John, of, you know, when your kids get married, you're going to make sure they get to a great counselor who knows how to ask all the right questions.
Before my kids get married, not when they get married.
Before they get married. Okay.
I don't want to
be part of a train wreck. You want them to go to a counselor before. And so one of the things I see a lot of is that we look at the public person, and we look at the person who they are in church or in public. He's a stand-up guy, you know, so on, so on, so forth. But it's always behind closed doors where we have to be able to know whether I know this person behind closed doors. What are their weak points or strong points? What else have they done to manage these stressors that John raised? How have they managed them? And do I have the ability to even ask somebody that set of questions, or a counselor asking somebody, so how do you manage stress? For instance, for men today, sex is the number one, almost the number one thing that men turn to relieve stress. Mm-hmm. And that's why pornography is such a big turning point that we turn to, and it's so readily available. It's to relieve stress. So even the question, what do you do to relieve stress, as a premarital question versus looking at a public persona and saying, I love that person, they're in church, therefore they must be all good. You know, the character of a person is determined by what they do in private, alone, and when they're stressed. And that is the determiner. And we need to find out those questions and learn to ask those questions before we get married. And a lot of us live under the facade of believing if they're a Christian, we're okay. Yeah. Well, this is perfect illustration that just because a person is a Christian doesn't mean they're a good choice as a spouse.
Absolutely. Yeah, let me wade in here. You know, my thought has been I would have never picked the word adultery. I would have picked the word adolescentry. I would have called it adolescentry. Mm-hmm. You know, you get married and you commit adolescentry.
Yes.
Because in adolescence, you're doing all the stuff you can do. In adulthood, you know stuff you can do, but you're able to restrain yourself. And for the greater good, you don't do some things you feel like doing at the moment. Your brain's supposed to work for you. So I would call it either adolescentry or infantry, even, where you're just having these urges met. But I want to tell you something. There's another term I would use rather than adultery. Regretry. Mm. How many people in the flash of the moment have gotten involved and it just began a lifetime of regret when they wake up for it? And here's what I say to every man, every woman that's listening. Billy Graham, when he was out doing ministry stuff, would never be alone with a woman. That's Billy Graham. Now, if Billy Graham has to have that kind of limit, I'm just saying, well, maybe you should have that kind of boundary or limit put on yourself, because I really believe anybody, good, whatever, in the wrong place, wrong time, with the wrong trigger, you're going to end up committing regretry. And, man, I wish I could keep you from doing that. It doesn't help you. It doesn't honor God. It destroys so many people's lives, especially the children that you brought into this world. So, I guess most people have heard about the pastor who his name was on the Ashley Madison account, had children, young guy, commit suicide because there was this shameful secret. Don't have secrets. If you got a secret, the secret needs to be out. You need to share it. You need to get rid of it. That's how we can clean up this mess of so many people getting involved in adulterous relationships. It's been happening for about 6,000 years, as far as I know, and we just got to quit it. All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend, he has written an amazing book and it's called The Entitlement Cure. Some of you know folks who are entitled, and it's hurt you. This would be a great book for you to get. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register, to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful. But probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go to Linda, Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call.
Super. Great. We're glad to. How can we help you?
Well, this is actually part two. I called you guys and talked to you guys about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember.
I'm sorry?
I remember.
Well, thank you.
He might. I tell you, he takes notes.
I'll refresh your memory. My husband and I and our two daughters had gone on an extended family vacation with his family, his parents, and his two brothers, their wives, and their kids. And
how'd that go?
It went poorly.
What happened?
Well, one of my sisters-in-law and I went out on a rowboat, and we were just having fun being out in the water. And when we got back, my mother-in-law and father-in-law charged at us, yelling at us, saying that we'd been talking about them out on the boat, and my mother-in-law said, we don't do these vacations for you girls. We don't care about you girls. We do this for our sons. And
Oh, my gosh, this is awful.
It was awful, yeah. And you had the same reaction then. And and then my brother-in-law came out and started yelling at us. And it was just so demoralizing, you know, and destructive. And so I called you and talked to you about that then, and you gave some great advice. And you applauded my husband because he really took a stand for me. And, you know, defending.
So something interesting has happened in the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, get us up to date here.
Yes, okay, so I'll get you up to the present. So what happened in that time is they became really angry at us, more me, for taking a stand, you know, for saying this was wrong, this hurt, we need to talk. You know, they didn't like it that we called them on it and that we couldn't continue the way it without having a conversation, you know?
Sure.
And every time we tried to have a conversation, we were shut down, and they even said, well, we don't even know who started the yelling first. You know, so there was stuff like that that just was, you know, it made it hard to
talk
about.
So really unhealthiness going on there.
Yes.
Okay,
and so
what's happened?
Your advice was to, you know, show up at family get-togethers, you know, major holidays, and rise above it. And if there's any ugliness, and call them on it, and leave if you need to. And you said we can't expect them to, you know, be healthy. And so, well, in the intermittent time, they've planned family vacations, and they've gone on them, and they want us to go along with them. And we didn't go on one of them. We haven't, when now they're wanting to plan another one, and they want us to go. And
you're supposed to put this under the rug during that week-year-old vacation?
I'm sorry, say again?
They're expecting you to put all these dynamics under the rug during the vacation?
Yeah. I mean, things are, we function together, but it's not comfortable.
No, you can't be vulnerable. So what's the question?
Well, I think my husband and I feel badly about not going. You know, we feel like we don't want to reject them. We don't want to.
So the question is, should you feel good about it, or what's the question?
Do you think we should go?
Oh,
well, let me ask you, your kids. What happens when they go with you on this?
Well, so they knew that they were apart from the yelling. They didn't see it. They knew something was wrong, so they didn't hear it that time. And now, like, there's been passive-aggressive behavior towards them. Like, they don't get calls from Grandma and Grandpa on their birthdays anymore.
This is awful.
It's terrible.
Okay, so here's one thing to do. Maybe too late on this situation.
Okay.
I would just always have other plans. I wouldn't put my kids with these grandparents so that they could fulfill some kind of fantasy of all the family being together and happy, and yet they're not even treating your children as grandparents are just kind of prone to treat grandkids. I don't think it's right that they have to go to do that versus a week of something really special with the family that really loves them, you and your husband.
Yeah, I love what Steve's saying here. I guess I'm scratching my head going, a vacation is so precious for me. I don't get enough of my family.
Kidding.
And so I'm thinking, why do you want to spend your week being downloaded with Drano from toxic people in a pretty environment? I'm not getting you here.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I don't want to. And
But you're calling saying, should I go? So what's this about?
No, I'm calling. Maybe I'm calling to say, how can we... I guess, what makes me feel bad is we look bad to them. They think that we're bad. And
you're the recipient of something technically called projective identification. They're projecting failures inside themselves that they won't look at or tolerate, putting them into you so you can be scapegoated so they can feel better about themselves. But what's your question?
How can we have a perfect world?
Oh my!
See, Linda, you are letting. I hope you heard what John said. You are letting them define you. You're letting their view stick, and you sort of have a Velcro suit on, and every piece of lint sticks on Velcro. You need to have a Teflon suit. And it would appear to, where everything slides off. It would appear to me that your in-laws have sonitis. That is, they have a fixation on their sons, and the two daughter-in-laws kind of don't matter. They're extraneous. And so you guys go have your own conversation, and all of a sudden you're the lightning rod because you've done something different.
They're so enmeshed.
They are so enmeshed.
And so the sad part is they don't get the concept of leaving and cleaving. I am delighted in some things I faintly heard you say, but that your husband also agrees with you. He doesn't want to go either. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Okay, good. And so the good news is that the two of you, which is the most important thing John and Steve and I could talk about today, is your marriage, because you've already left and cleft. Your marriage is the one that counts. So as a married couple, you have to decide, are we going or not? And if the answer is no, we're not going, then you simply say that, and you allow the words that to fall where they may, but don't allow them to define you.
Right. So here's what you do. No, we can't go this time. There's just too much pain, and you were not nice to our grandchildren, and you did stuff that you shouldn't have done.
So you're saying be pretty confrontive.
Oh my gosh, yeah. But here's what I'm saying. Because I never say never. I'm a real don't burn your bridges kind of guy. So I would say, but for the next vacation, if you're interested in us,
if we can have some substantive talks of mutual ownership and repentance and change and vulnerability and really get this stuff behind us so that you're nice to our grandchildren and we respect you and you respect us, we might be interested in the next vacation.
And if you're nice to me.
And if you're nice to me. And then if they still do the crazy stuff, then you and your husband do some what's called a fairly intensive grief process and say goodbye to the wish that we had a perfect world, which I've had to do as you do. It's hard. And I say goodbye to it, and I say, let me accept good people out there who can be the family of God for me, because my family of origin, the foo, F-O-O, my family of origin has failed me, so now I must move from the foo to the fog, and the fog is the family of God. Biology didn't work. So I want to find cool people to go on vacations with and grieve the old and enter the new. That's what I would do.
Okay. I want to give you one quick analogy, okay? You ready?
Yes.
All right. So imagine if you called us and said, I have been burned, and I'm astounded at the devastation that fire causes. And we said, hey, man, I bet you're going to be a firefighter, or I bet you're going to go and be emergency relief for people who've lost their homes in fires. And then you said, no, I'm going to wish that fire wasn't hot. We'd say, oh, well, that's really beautiful, but it's not going to get you anywhere, and it's not going to help anybody. And
well,
you,
can I say something?
Sure, absolutely.
I do love your analogy, and I thank you for that. I think that, you know, because of time, I gave you, you know, the worst stuff, and or some of the worst stuff. And there have been some positive things.
Well, that makes us like you even more, because you're saying they're not all bad.
There you go.
They're not. I mean,
we love that.
But
you can't ignore this really, really crummy.
You know, I was really okay with you going with them on vacation and just say, okay, I'll be polite, but we're going to go canoeing and not spend a lot of time with them. But when they did that to your grandchildren, my hackles honestly rose.
Yeah,
and I thought,
that's right.
That's just not okay. I wouldn't go on a vacation with a relative that did that. They call and give gifts to everybody else's kids but mine. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, so they used to call us all for our birthdays. They stopped doing that. They did send the girls gifts. But the phone call, you know, it hurts. It's like, well, why don't we get calls anymore? You know, and I know that it's directed towards me to hurt me.
Well, that's the point.
Well, I tell you what,
you have
grandparents,
to,
you know, go ahead, Milo.
No, I just say you have to also realize they are hostile toward me. And that's where the boundary comes in. I'm not going to spend time with people who are like that. The other thing is, if you go on a vacation with them, my guess is they're paying for it. And if they're paying for it, then they got all the strings. And I'm not going to subject myself to that power.
No. And when they stop doing that to grandkids, that's when I say, you quit calling them grandparents, start calling them the oldest people in the family. Just take that title away. They're bad representatives of grandparents. So,
I love you guys.
We love you,
all right,
too.
Hey,
talk to you in 2.5 years.
All right.
Part three.
Right after this.
We've been married for 26 years, 6 kids. If this didn't work, I was ready to file.
The New Life Marriage Weekend is coming to Dallas November 6th through the 8th.
Like they said, it's probably cheaper than divorce.
Join Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
Doctors Dave and Jan Stoop.
We're going to talk about the degrees of love and different ways that we love. And what is it that destroys our love? And then how do you repair love when it's broken?
And Steve Artiber.
And I'm going to be talking about the 7 things that you need to stop right now and the 7 things you need to start doing in your marriage and the 7 minutes that will matter the most for the future of your relationship.
The sparks are already rejuvenated.
To register or to find out more, call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I would sure love to see you there in Women of Faith in St. Paul, Minneapolis, or at Healing is a Choice, or at Women in the Battle, or the Marriage Solution Weekend. We'd love to have you come. Could change everything. And if you can help us financially, we'd love that too. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, whether we can help you or you could help us. I'm going to step out early. Madeline will finish the program for us here, but let's talk to Jessica from Houston, Texas. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
Great. How could we help you? What's going on in your life today?
Well, I have, my question is regarding my 7-year-old stepdaughter. She is going through a lot of emotional chaos right now, I guess. And my husband and I and her mom are all just kind of at a loss as to how we can help her through it.
Okay, what's going on?
So she is feeling very unloved and unimportant to her mom. And she's blaming her little sister. Her mom has a daughter, a second daughter. And my stepdaughter is blaming her little sister for all of her troubles. And I'm expecting a daughter in about 2 months. And my stepdaughter is already starting to project the same kind of negative feeling toward the new baby.
Okay.
And we've talked to her. We've tried helping her in so many ways, just talking her through it and showing her Bible verses that show her God's not going to leave her and, you know, all of these things. And she just tells us she knows and she's tried everything and nothing
works. She's seven? She's seven?
She's seven. Yes.
Are you doing what God does?
What do you mean?
What I mean is, at seven, neurologically, the Bible is very difficult for understand. We want to get our kids in the Bible, but she needs you, and she needs people spending extra time with her and playing with her and doing things with her and special stuff that's just her. And just to say, look, we're really busy with new kids, but God loves you, is sort of thrown her under the bus. So I would want
well,
you
no,
to...
Well, no, and I mean, we certainly haven't done that. As far as, like, her main concern right now isn't that her dad and I don't spend time with her. It's that her mom doesn't spend time with her. And, of course,
okay, so you are nurturing, and spending time and giving her attention on your own. So that part's in place.
Right.
Okay, good. Good
but
for you.
Now she's concerned because I'm going to have a baby soon. She's concerned that the same thing that's going to happen that has happened with her mom is going to happen at our house, and so she's starting to be very negative toward the new baby who's not even here yet.
Yeah. Okay, I got it. Then she needs reality, which is I'm going to be kind of tied up with the baby because that baby needs a lot. But every time I've got any time, and I'll make sure I get all the time I can get with you, I will spend time with you. And when you feel like I'm not giving enough, I give you permission to say, I need a hug, I need to read a story. And if I'm not tied up with the baby, I will do that. And also your dad, because this is what dads are supposed to do. When a mom has a newborn, dad's got to show up and be at the plate. And your dad will spend extra time with you to make sure you know how special you are to us. So what you're telling her is, you have a place to protest this. It's okay. You get scared and you get a little depressed, and every ounce I've got will go to you that's not taking care of the baby, and dad's going to double his time with you. And so she starts to experience that even though mom left me, they're not going to. Somebody's going to be in that house asking me how I'm doing and playing and drawing and coloring and going for walks and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You just double down.
Yeah.
Jessica, did you see the movie Inside Out?
No, I didn't.
Highly recommend that movie. And I'll tell you why, because there's also a need to, and I agree with everything John just said, there's also a need to talk with her about the abandonment she has felt from her mom.
Yes, that's very good.
And that she's angry. And as John said, she's scared. And so to validate isn't to just read a verse to somebody and say, here's what you need to think. In that movie, sadness comes alongside of the girl and says, oh, I'm so sorry. That hurts so bad. And there's a healing moment right there when we can bring in validation, allow the person to be sad.
She feels heard by her then.
And she feels heard because somebody comes along and says, and validation is, I see you. I see the source of your pain. We're not just trying to make the pain or the protest go away. We're trying to really tell her we get her. We see what's going on and how hard it has been for her to lose a family as it was originally constructed, to have mom get distracted, to not have enough time with mom, and then to worry that this is going to happen again. I would actually say to her, your worries would sound logical. I could see why you would feel this way because it's happened to you in the past.
I love that. Jessica, how's that feel?
I mean, I definitely agree with all of that, and
she needs to hear it over and over again.
I've tried, and my husband has tried talking to her about these things, and we let her know. I mean, we'll spend, you know, an hour or two on the phone with her, and she's just crying and crying. When she's with us on the weekends, when it's time to go back to her mom, she's just crying and crying.
Okay. All right.
And so we've talked to her, and we've validated her feelings,
good.
You know, more than just giving her verses. We
good.
Have done this.
Good, good.
We've tried these things very, very much. It's been going on for probably a couple months now, and we've just kind of
all right.
Come that, to that's, the that's, end of our no, ideas.
No, you're doing the right thing. Some
too, and we don't know what. To
yeah, there's a okay. thing. There's a thing called the clinical line, meaning. You're doing so many of the things right. Now, and I'm sorry for saying that you threw under the bus because I didn't understand. You're not throwing the bus. I got that wrong. You're really being – I was thinking that you were the other person. So sorry about that. Anyway, there's a clinical line of severity of when somebody's struggling that all of our love and comfort and listening and validating isn't enough because the bruising has been deeper. I think she needs a therapist. She's crossed the clinical line into let's get her a good child therapist that can help her with basically – she's got to learn how to begin grieving her real mom, her biological mom, who hasn't been there for her, and letting that go and having those feelings with a professional. So with your support and your husband's support and a good child professional, it shouldn't take very long, but it's just kind of time, I think.
Right. And yeah, we've been trying to find a therapist for her, a counselor or therapist or something in the area, and I guess that's another thing that's going to be difficult for us is because we have her only every other weekend.
Ooh.
The rest of the time she's with her mom. And so we don't have that much time with her, you know.
How far are you separated from her?
Geographically.
Geographically.
We're about 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, I do think that what John is saying is absolutely right because there's
she sounds depressed.
She's very depressed. She's angry and she's scared little girl and she's been traumatized, okay? So if you think of her as being traumatized, I love how John used the word deeply bruised and, you know, there's a line that crosses over. There's some great trauma therapists in the Houston area and you need to find someone who really gets that and can help her. And even if it means you drive 45 minutes and get her and take her to her appointment, you're going to help her accomplish that. And I could see why she would cry and protest and be so upset after she leaves your house that she's got to then go home and go back and be with this mom who doesn't see her.
Would mom, if you said we'll pay for it and we'll find it and we'll drive her there while you've got her, would mom be open to that or no?
She probably would be. She's never given too much care if I need to pick her up early or anything
she's
like
sort
that.
Okay, then I would say – yeah, we'll find somebody. And yeah, call us in our other number, the 800 New Life number. We can find a good child therapist in Houston. Just tell the mom we'd like to do a gift. We think she's sad, and we want to help and make it a positive thing. And then you do it.
Well, thank you for being with us. We will see you next time here at New Life Live.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you.
but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.